Let's read together Numbers chapter 22. In this chapter, we have the attempt of Balak, king of Moab, to hire Balaam, a diviner from Mesopotamia, to curse Israel. Numbers chapter 22, beginning at verse 1. Then the children of Israel moved and camped in the plains of Moab on the side of the Jordan across from Jericho. Now Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was exceedingly afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was sick with dread because of the children of Israel. So Moab said to the elders of Midian, "Now this company will lick up everything around us, as an ox licks up the grass of the field." And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. Then he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, at Pethor, which is near the river in the land of the sons of his people, to call him, saying, "Look, a people has come from Egypt. See, they cover the face of the earth and are settling next to me. Therefore, please come at once, curse this people for me, for they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. For I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed." So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the diviner's fee in their hand. And they came to Balaam and spoke to him the words of Balak. And he said to them, "Lodge here tonight, and I will bring back word to you as the Lord speaks to me." So the princes of Moab stayed with Balaam. Then God came to Balaam and said, "Who are these men with you?" So Balaam said to God, "Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent to me, saying, 'Look, a people has come out of Egypt, and they cover the face of the earth. Come now, curse them for me. Perhaps I shall be able to overpower them and drive them out.'" And God said to Balaam, "You shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed." So Balaam rose in the morning and said to the princes of Balak, "Go back to your land, for the Lord has refused to give me permission to go with you." And the princes of Moab rose and went to Balak and said, "Balaam refuses to come with us." Then Balak again sent princes, more numerous and more distinguished than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, "Thus says Balak, the son of Zippor, please let nothing hinder you from coming to me, for I will certainly honor you greatly, and I will do whatever you say to me. Therefore, please come, curse this people for me." Then Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, "Though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore, please, you also stay here overnight, that I may know what more the Lord will say to me." And God came to Balaam at night and said to him, "If the men come to call you, rise and go with them, but only the word which I speak to you, that you shall do." So Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. Then God's anger was aroused because he went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. And he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards, with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" And Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have abused me, I wish there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you." So the donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey on which you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to do this to you?" And he said, "No." Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you, because your way is perverse before me." The donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely I also would have killed you by now and let her live. And Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displeases you, I will turn back." Then the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, "Go with these men, but only the word that I speak to you, that you shall speak." So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. Now when Balak heard that Balaam was coming, he went out to meet him at the city of Moab, which is on the border of the Arnon, the boundary of the territory. Then Balak said to Balaam, "Did I not earnestly send to you, calling for you? Why did you not come to me? Am I not able to honor you?" And Balaam said to Balak, "Look, I have come to you. Now have I any power at all to say anything? The word that God puts in my mouth, that I must speak." So Balaam went with Balak, and they came to Kiriath Huzoth. Then Balak offered oxen and sheep, and he sent some to Balaam and to the princes who were with him. So it was the next day that Balak took Balaam and brought him up to the high places of Baal, that from there he might observe the extent of the people. Let's begin our study of this chapter now with some background notes. Numbers chapters 22 through 24 contain the account of Balak and Balaam. Balak was the pagan king of Moab. Israel had already conquered the Amorite kingdoms of Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan. And so Balak thought that the Moabites would be next in line to experience defeat at the hands of the increasingly powerful Israeli army. King Balak of Moab did not know at this time that God had told his people that Israel was not to conquer Moab, because the Moabites, like the Ammonites, were descendants of Lot, and thus distant relatives of Israel. But Balak, you see, was unaware of this communication from God to his people, and therefore he hired Balaam to curse Israel. But Balaam ended up blessing Israel instead of cursing them. Now comes the big question. Was Balaam a good guy or a bad guy? On the one hand, Balaam blessed Israel at God's command. But on the other hand, Balak certainly would not have hired Balaam to curse Israel if Balaam was a prophet of the one true God. Balaam was a well-known diviner or soothsayer or sorcerer from Mesopotamia near the Euphrates River, verse 5. Balaam hired himself out to curse people for a price. Certainly not the characteristic of a good guy. He's called a diviner or soothsayer in Joshua chapter 13, verse 22. And then we have the New Testament scriptures which refer to Balaam, and they certainly do not commend him as a good guy. I'm reading from 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, which is a denunciation of false teachers. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but he was rebuked for his iniquity. And from Revelation chapter 2, verse 14, in the letter to Pergamum, "But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality." So, my opinion, for what it's worth, is that Balaam was a false prophet, a typical diviner or soothsayer of that day, normally using occultic powers and normally using his powers for material gain. Even though God spoke to him, and even though Balaam obeyed, or at least partially obeyed the Lord, and even though he blessed Israel and prophesied truth under the power of the Spirit of God, as we'll see in the chapters ahead, yet, because of these New Testament scriptures and these factors that we've mentioned, Balaam was a false prophet. We need to move now to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal or teaching point number one: the enemy will try to prevent God from blessing his people. The enemy will try to prevent God from blessing his people. Balak could see that the children of Israel were blessed by their God, both in their numbers and in their victories over their enemies. Balak knew that his army, along with the Midianite forces, were no match for Israel, and so he hired Balaam to curse God's people. What a spiritual picture we have here of the tactics of the enemy of our souls. Satan hates to see God's people blessed, and so he tries everything he can to thwart God's purpose of blessing his people. Balak was persistent in trying to get Israel cursed, and so is Satan persistent in trying to prevent God's blessing on us. The enemy will try to prevent God from blessing his people. Doctrinal or teaching point number two: the enemy cannot prevent God from blessing his people. The enemy cannot prevent God from blessing his people. Listen, when God wants to bless his people, nothing can stop him. This was true for Israel. It's true for us. Balak was willing to pay a large sum of money to Balaam if he would curse Israel. And there is no doubt that Balaam wanted to take the money. But God prevented Balaam from cursing Israel. In fact, God forced Balaam, in spite of himself, to bless Israel. Even though Balaam was a false prophet, he recognized that the God of Israel was supreme over the gods of the other nations. You see, Balaam was hoping that Israel's God would allow him to curse Israel. After all, Balaam must have known that this large mass of people had been wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. It certainly didn't seem like their God was pleased with them, did it? So just maybe this powerful God that Balaam knew was more powerful than the gods of Egypt, just maybe this Jehovah or Yahweh of Israel would allow Balaam to use his powers to curse this wandering nation. You can certainly see Satan's attempts to curse God's people through Balaam. What Balaam didn't know is that while God may discipline his people, he does not curse them, then or today. In fact, God blesses his people. Even God's discipline is for the purpose of paving the way for his blessing. Nothing can stop God from blessing his people. And God can use anything he wants to thwart the enemy's attempts to curse God's people, even dumb animals like donkeys. Now, this part of the account would be humorous if it wasn't so serious, right? What would you do if you hit a donkey with a stick and the animal turned around to you and said, "How come you hit me? What have I done to you?" I would have probably fainted in shock. Not Balaam. He argues with a donkey. He argues with a donkey. Can you believe it? The truth is that God allowed the donkey to see the angel of the Lord and allowed the donkey to speak and then opened the eyes of Balaam to see the angel of the Lord. All of this was because God was protecting his people so that he could bless them. The enemy cannot prevent God from blessing his people. What about practical application? You must do more than just say, "I have sinned." You must do more than just say, "I have sinned." When the angel of the Lord confronted Balaam in verse 34, we read, "And Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, 'I have sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displeases you, I will turn back.'" It certainly sounds like Balaam became a believer, doesn't it? He acknowledges his sin and is willing to go back home. But Balaam never committed himself to the Lord. We know this from what we read of Balaam in the rest of Numbers and in the New Testament, as we've seen. You know, the same is true today. Just to acknowledge that you're a sinner and that you've sinned does not make you a Christian. Lots of unbelievers are willing to do that. Many will even follow the moral teachings of the Bible, but this does not make you a Christian. To become a Christian, you must believe and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, because he died for your sins as your personal substitute on the cross. You must do more than just say, "I have sinned."